are listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast.
Until the light takes us, am I right, Bog?
Welcome into the Fundamentalist Podcast. I'm your host, Dual Guest, and today we're going to be talking about three albums that we've very much been looking forward to sharing with you. First off, we have the latest from Enforcer entitled Nostalgia. Does their 80s tinged heavy metal live up to the hype to their previous albums? We'll let you know. We also have Primeval Onslaught from Torture Rack. This one's a suggestion from Richard. Does this 90s themed death metal live up to its forebears? And lastly, we have the latest release from Black Braid, one of the podcast darlings, with Black Braid 2. We've been talking a lot about this record and how much we're looking forward to it, and we can't wait to share our thoughts on it with you. All this, plus what we've been listening to, all this and more on the Fundamentalist Podcast. Richard Donahue, hello, sir. Welcome in.
How are you doing today, sir?
I'm fucking fantastic, outside of the fact that I have to go back to work tomorrow in the morning. Huge bummer, same but there. Is what it is. You recently went to a pretty cool show, right? Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, the show was this fest. It's the second year of it, called Stormbringer Fest in Worcester, Massachusetts. And Stormbringer is famously the name of Elric Sword, which was the biggest influence on The Witcher, was Elric. Actually, you could say almost straight up plagiarism certain parts, but that's a whole thing for another day. Me and my old lady went to the Saturday night of the fest, and one of the main reasons we went was because a Savage Master played, who me and my old lady saw several times down there, as well as my buddy Little John plays with them. So I haven't seen Little John since I moved up here, even before then. So it's about 5 years since I had seen him. So it was muggy as hell. It was nearly Mississippi levels of just disgusting humidity.
I gotta say, it's like being right back home, sir. Carry me Southeast Mass home to this fucking humid hellhole of a climate.
Oh, dude, just like pants sticking to you. And the way the venue is, it's called Ralph's Rock Diner. So you have this diner, and then you have like a bar and pool table. It's kind of wraps around. And then you go upstairs to the venue, to the actual stage. It is it was a balmy son of a bitch. But we ended up getting there a little late, so we missed the first Dopey bands. Those especially bummed to miss Concilium, who were a female front and doom metal band from Boston. Don't really play very often. It's a bummer to miss them, but they get to talk to them. Really good stuff. I highly recommend their 2019 record, which I don't have in front of me, but you should check that out, Concilium from Boston. But the first band we were able to catch was Night Cobra. And Night Cobra is the kind of punky old school metal side project of Christian Larson, who is the vocalist guitarist for Necrofire, as well as the founder of Hell's Heroes, the big old school metal fest in Houston as well. Full of piss and vinegar. He was wearing this Kurt Russell jacket, like from Escape from New York. So it's like kind of a theme with the band, like that style of 80s nostalgia to an extent, but a really kick-ass set. After them, this band Solister, who were the only band I had not checked out before seeing them. And one thing I've noticed with this style of like kind of retro 80s metal, a lot of it can be just kind of weak and like timid on just kind of pussified sounding. But this was just high octane, really like really intense riffing, like really fast. And their front woman was just commanding the crowd. Phenomenal. This very built, strong, powerful, like a Conan-esque vibe from just commanding the audience. And then just put out a wonderful performance. Definitely the sleeper hit of the fest for me, at least. They were fantastic. Following them was Adamantis, who is a local power metal band from Boston. And they impressed the shit out of me. I actually bought their EP and their full length from 2020. So if you're in a newer kick-ass power metal, I would definitely highly, highly advise you check them out. And then Savage Master, of course, played, and they put on a damn good show, as expected. And I can say it's one of the few times I saw that I wasn't just completely blackout. I could actually remember most of the performance. It was really killer. So first time seeing them with Nick, their new guitarist, who is just a lethal player. Like, no offense to other guys, have had lead guitarists, and Nick's by far the best they've had. He's also playing with Storm Ruler, who is playing here with Swallow the Sun next month, which I might attend, actually. So we'll see. But finally, the main reason I bought my tickets in the first place, Visigoth, the power metal legends from Salt Lake City themselves came. And despite the fact they had no merch, which is a huge fucking bummer, and they rarely tour, and no shit online. Performance-wise, great. Heard every song I wanted to hear. The sound was great. Their vocalist was pitch perfect. And I even did two encores, which I didn't expect. Yeah, it was a great, wonderful time. I enjoyed the hell of it, especially Visigoth band I thought I'd never be able to see live. Yeah, I would highly recommend all those bands I actually just mentioned. If you like old school style, you know, power metal, heavy metal, melodies, great riffing, solos, just great shit.
So for me, I also went to a show recently, but I don't have nearly as much to say about it. I went with a local homie of mine here in Prague. It was an album release party for this band called Bonratal. They're a black thrash, black and roll style band. And the whole bill was like that. There was this band called Raze, this female fronted band called Raze from Berlin. And they were also like a Motorhead black thrash. Like everyone reminded me very much of like Venom meets Hell Ripper crossover. The opening band, Morgul, the exact same. I really want to give a shout out to that opening band, Morgul, because they were clearly very wet behind the ears, very green. I'm not sure how many shows they've actually played. They looked very, very nervous. The vocalist kept dropping his microphone, but goddamn, once the show started, they went all out, getting in the crowd, slapping people in the face, stage diving, like doing things, I think, outside of their comfort zone to try to get a rise out of the crowd, which I guess is what you got to do when you're a new band trying to make a name for yourself. And I respected that because they were clearly very, very nervous. They were shitting their pants before the show started. And then they just threw themselves into it once the show started. And I could not respect that more. I absolutely loved that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd highly recommend you check them out. Morgul, Morghuul. They're the most, I guess, noteworthy band of the show for me. Although Raze was also cool. R-A-Z-E from Berlin. And yeah, Bonratal, their album release. Also really cool, black and roll. But between you and me, Fundamentalist podcast listeners, none of these bands is breaking new ground sonically. It was all about the live show. And that's what's fun. Black and roll, black thrash is meant to be seen live. Not necessarily definitely heard on a record. Between
it depends on the band. Yeah, honestly. There's very few. Like R-No-R, I got to see that Metal Threat last year. They are great, and I do love the records, but live, it's a whole different beast. It just, you're just fist pumping the whole time, exactly. Headbanging tits off.
Look, like Dead on Leather and heavy metal lyrics about Satan just can only hit so hard over record, but in person, it's different, especially with a nice beer in your hand.
Fuck
so,
yeah.
Yeah, Morgul, Raze, Bonratal, check that shit out. I think you'll be a fan if you're into that genre whatsoever, which is a nice little segue into what I've been listening to, considering I was just talking about Prague and regional European heavy metal. So since I've been here in Prague, I've started to get really cool with my tattoo artist. I'm getting a lot of tattoos here since I moved. And nice. Turns out my tattoo artist is in a black metal band as well. Kind of like a crusty, hardcore black metal band called Morkhimmel. And I was listening to their record, Ostrichny Kozijny, which roughly translates to sharp black goat ears. That's this really ominous picture of a sickle for its album cover. Came out in 2014. So if you like kind of like a crusty, really raw sounding production, black metal with a little bit of a hardcore tinge, Morkhimmel is for you. Firm tier 5, borderline tier 6, or maybe even tier 7 band with a whopping 32 monthly listeners. Of which your boy is a proud member. You can count me in that number. Morkhimmel. You won't be disappointed if you like your black metal down and dirty like I do. On the opposite end of the spectrum, we're going to be reviewing the latest from Enforcer. And in that vein, I was listening to a lot of this neo heavy metal that's really influenced from like the first wave or two of heavy metal. And this band Air Raid came up. They're a tier 4 band, 27,000 monthly listeners. They remind me a lot of Enforcer, except they're a little bit slower and their vocals are a little bit more dad rocky, if I can be 100% honest. But don't let that turn you off. They are a little bit more of a relaxed, a chill version of Enforcer, as I said. So if you just want to kick back, relax, 40 minutes of some relaxing heavy metal,
this is going to be right up your alley. Lastly, I was also listening to a lot more of Gamma Bomb, as I'm prone to do. Gamma Bomb is Irish, I believe.
Irish pizza thrash type shit.
Yeah, Irish pizza thrash, crossover thrash. Really fun shit. They have this single. It's a cover, If I Should Fall from Grace with God, where they're doing like guitar renditions of bagpipes and other folk instrumentation. Really fun. And lastly, I know I said Gamma Bomb was last, but it wasn't. I've been listening again to Foregone, the latest from In Flames. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about it because we already did an episode where we gave a full killer review. But if you like anthemic metalcore, especially from a band that's as good as writing it as In Flames, this is 100% for you. It's a return to form, as we said in the initial review episode, and I still can't get enough of it, and it will undoubtedly be somewhere on my year-end top list for 2023, Foregone from In Flames. Richard, what have you been listening to before we get into our reviews?
Well, in preparation for this fest, I was listening to a lot of old school metal, and it's actually one of the bands. I didn't catch their full set, but I did talk to their vocalist, who's very cool. And so is this band, Traveler from Canada, that Savage Master was on tour with. And the name of the record is Termination Shock. And
wait, you saw Traveler?
I saw two of their songs. Yeah, they were at that fest. Well, yeah, Canadian band.
Starbreaker? Did they play the song Starbreaker?
All I know is Termination Shock record. All the ones on Spotify. Maybe if they're Canadian, yeah, it was probably the same band. It was weird. I was actually looking.
Yeah, Termination Shock. I love this band so fucking much. Their first record, wow. Traveler, is incredible. Their song Starbreaker was on one of my top releases in 2021.
Pure, total 80s metal. Not quite the Cheese Love of Enforcer. Though they were tagged as thrash, and it's a little thrash there. So I don't feel it's the right descriptor. There's a little thrash sprinkle here there, but it's very much like Exodus Bonded by Blood thrash, not full like Testament or like
you didn't Metallica. Hear them say, "He's Starbreaker." Oh my god, this band rules, dude. I can't believe you didn't stay for their whole set. I'm jealous you got to see them and ashamed that you left two songs in.
I say about three songs. I stayed for two, and then I would bounce around and came back for a third, like right near the end. But yeah, they're very kick-ass band. So if you're that style 80s metal, I definitely would recommend
Termination Shock from 2020.
Yeah, Termination Shock. Yeah, yeah.
Their self-titled from 2019, even better.
I'll have to check that one out because I didn't like it. I feel like I wish I had a little more oomph, so I'll definitely check that one out. And kind of in that vein of power metal, I was listening to Symphony X's third record, Twilight from Olympus, which is one of my favorite Symphony X records, Church of the Machine, Lady of the Snow, and Through the Looking Glass, which is about Alice in Wonderland. It's really, really kick-ass stuff. So big if you're in the power / progressive metal, cannot recommend early Symphony X enough. And finally, I had some of boys over Friday. I had a little too much fun, ended up missing work the next day, but such is life. But plus playing a Striper to Hell with the Devil, just classic 80s record. I can't get enough of it. I know it's Christian rock, Christian metal, hair metal, whatever they call it. It's great shit. I have more Jesus metals like that, you know, it might be at a better rep, but unfortunately that is not the case. But Striper, the Hell with the Devil, more cheese than fucking Wisconsin combined, but the catchiness and riffs, dude, make it all worth it.
Well, we've been talking about a classic heavy metal with Traveler and Air Raid. I think it's only fitting that we then transition into our reviews and start off with the latest from Enforcer, which is called Nostalgia. Prior to this, Enforcer had put out their record Zenith, which was one of my favorite records of the last 5 years. Songs like Die for the Devil and Searching for You are just absolute earworms. They nearly perfected this neo-80s heavy metal sound. And now on this record, they're really letting you know that that's what they're about to do. I mean, shit, it's straight up called Nostalgia. And this record...
Nostalgia.
This record does not pretend to be anything but what it is. It's fist-pumping heavy metal with some 80s ballads thrown in as well. Everything that you would expect, whether it be like Motley Crue or even like some early new wave of British heavy metal influence, you can find it here. Richard, give me your initial thoughts on Nostalgia.
Honestly, initially, the title kind of, okay, I kind of have an idea what I'm getting into. And there's a first song, Armageddon, which is like a little intro song that every band has to have for some reason nowadays. And then song Unshackle Me comes on, the first real song on the record. And it reminded me a lot of Just Let It Go by Def Leppard on their High and Dry record, which is the best Def Leppard record, follows shortly by Pyromania. Honestly, there's several songs here that reminded me of Def Leppard, that type of shit from the 80s.
I mean, there's influences that abound here. Like, I feel like Def Leppard, Motley Crue, like, pretty much name your 80s band, and you could probably point to a song on here where they're giving a wink and a nod in their direction.
Heartbeats, great ballad, dude. Oh, it's pure 80s balladry. Just shit.
Nostalgia. The title track is a fantastic ballad as well.
Yes. Yes, yes, it is. Hell, even the song Kiss of Death, which is on Dawkins' last album for The Original Atlanta, the open track song Kiss of Death. Obviously, I prefer that Kiss of Death, this one. Well, Kiss of Death, great song.
I would say Home Sweet Home, Eat Your Heart Out, because at least their ballads here are still retain a sense of heaviness as well.
Yes, yes.
They never lose the iron gauntlet on the wrist, even as they're putting their lighters in the air. And that's something you got to give them a little bit of credit for. Even on songs like White Lights in the USA.
Great song. I love that song.
Oh, fantastic song. For me, like you, all I could think of is that the album is entitled Nostalgia for a reason, and that it's doing nothing but giving winks and nods and like elbow nudges to the gut of every single person who either grew up with or has spent a lot of time listening to 80s heavy metal, whether it be Dokken, whether it be Def Leppard, whether it be Motley Crue or any other bands that most people are too embarrassed to say that they listened to back in the day. There is some sort of reference. There's so much going on here that I think they almost nail it a little too hard. I love the high octane energy that most of the songs have. I love the fact that they break it up with some ballads every now and then. But my biggest criticism with this record, and it's kind of a big one, it gets a little hard to differentiate songs after a while. There's one vibe and one vibe only, and they do it well, but they've been doing it well for a while. And this is not their best version of that sound, that whole vibe that they're going for. And so it's 41 minutes long. It's not like it overstays its welcome, but at 41 minutes, I was still thinking that maybe you could cut a song or two. And that's a little bit of a shame. Like, I wish there was a little bit more variety on this record in some way, shape, or form. Maybe that's not what they're going for. It's obviously not what they're going for. They nail what they're going for. But goddamn, you've been going for it for four records, and I don't think this is their best. They didn't hit the mark as on the nose as they've done previously. The biggest deviation from the sound on this record isn't even really a sonic change. It's a lyrical one because the lyrics are in Spanish, and that's Metal Supremacia.
Another great song.
Yeah. One of the best on the record.
Yes, definitely. Top three easily.
Metal Supremacia. About to say lighten the cheese, or should I say queso in this sense? Just laying it on thick.
I could definitely see where it come from. I definitely feel that the first half of the record is the strongest. From like a shack called me to the title track, all that shit's great. That gets a bit spotty. Like at the rainbow ain't a bad song, but it's just kind of like it's good. Da, 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 da. Let's see what's another one. At No Tomorrow, it gets good, you know. But everything else is so much. Everything else reached such a high peak that when they're coming down, it's kind of obvious. Like they just kind of phone this one in because they're trying to like. Almost trying to pad out the record, like, oh, we want at least a 40 record. So, you know, these aren't as good as the others, but we're still putting on here because we want to reach that 40-minute mark.
Yeah, and I think that's really my biggest complaint is that there's seven or eight really good songs on here. Not perfect by any stretch, not reinventing the wheel by any stretch. Like seven or eight really worship metal songs of like not necessarily one band in particular, but a vibe, an era, a decade that lives near and dear in the hearts of lots of heavy metal fans. But there's two or three songs that you could point to that are just
They could have left the chopping room for the chopping block and like, okay.
Yeah. Like, and what's weird is that I wouldn't even necessarily name any of these songs. Like this one is total shit. Like,
My first thing
is like, maybe Keep the Flame Alive. Maybe the second song Unshackle Me. Maybe Demon, maybe, but at the same time, in a different light, these are also at the same time really cool tracks and maybe even highlights of the record. Like, depending on what day you're listening to this, like, they all sound so similar so much the same that the same songs you're on the chopping block are your favorites the very next day. It is, it's just a little too samey for me. And maybe it's just the formula going a little stale here for Enforcer. But they're showing no signs of wanting to deviate from that formula right down to the fucking album title here. At the end of the day, while they nail what they're trying to do, I can't say I love this record. It's certainly not as good as Xena, their previous record, which had more variety. And not only had more variety, but it did what this record was trying to do better.
I could see that. I definitely feel like this one almost is more like a party vibe, and Zenith is like they almost trying to take this a little more seriously, a little more grit to it.
So yeah, there's way more. There was more Satan.
Forever, oh yeah, definitely.
Forever we worship the dark, searching for you, die for the devil, undying evil.
Yeah, yeah.
Old school Enforcer had it, like, you know, leather studs and Satan, baby. There's not nearly enough Satan on this record, too. Just saying. Now, this is the first reviews episode that we've done since Bogrovich has taken his leave from the podcast. So instead of us all giving a score out of 3.3 and averaging it together, Richard and I are both going to give scores out of 5 and add them together. For me, I like this record. I don't love this record, but I do love this band. Nostalgia from Enforcer gets a 3.5 out of 5 from me.
Actually, I would also give the same score, a 3.5. So maybe cut two of these songs off it, a little more oomph to it, a little more grit next time.
More Satan. We need more of the Dark Lord. Come on, guys. All right, so Nostalgia from Enforcer gets a 7.0 out of 10 from us here at the Fundamentalist Podcast. Moving on to the next review is Primeval Onslaught from Torture Rack. Now, this was suggested by our boy, Richard Donahue, so I'm going to let him take the lead on this review. Give us your initial thoughts. Give us some background.
Well, my background, actually, I'd never actually heard of this band, but I saw Scott from Cardiac Arrest and Mike from Cyanide post about, they both mentioned record, both bands, Salt Metal Threat, both great Chicago death metal bands, and they're both, they were like, buy or die, like, this record's fucking great. It's like, well, I love these guys. If they say it's good, it's gotta be good. And I put it on, and I honestly thought it was a record from, like, the mid-90s death metal. Like, it sounded like just from...
It is.
Like,
it's called Grotesque by Cannibal Corpse, the track.
Like, it sounded like literally like a time capsule for like 95, 96, like brutal death metal, but with like kind of short, concise, catchy. The production is very much, you know, in that time frame. And it was just like the total package when I think of like a great death metal record.
Gore Obsessed, I think, is the record from Cannibal Corpse that this one reminds me of a lot, of, like with the track Pit of Zombies, and I think Grotesque on there. Also, the very first track on this record, no shade whatsoever, because they picked a really fun track to rip off. But these guys obviously listened to Spawn of the Wretched and the Wretched Spawn album from Cannibal Corpse, because Ceremonial Flesh Feast straight up rips that riff off, or at least pays heavy homage. Yeah. Like, not throwing shade, not calling them ripoff artists, but they clearly love this. I clearly love that record. And just as you said, this album really does have that 90s death metal aesthetic in its mixing, as well as its overall aesthetic, right down to the fucking album cover as well. And when you hear the riffs, it's like, all right, this band clearly listened to Cannibal Corpse, like most death metal fans in the 1990s. Shit, like a lot of death metal fans here in 2023. Nothing wrong with that. But I will color my whole review here in the sense that this is a band almost living in the shadow of the music and art that came before it, that it's very much laying at the altar of.
Oh, definitely. And also, it's kind of a super group from Portland metal bands as well, because you have the bassist from Witch Vomit, who does vocals and bass in the band. You have the drummer from Cemetery Lust, who's a black thrash band, Salt Metal Threat, this past April, who were really killer, and the guitarist from, I never listened to them, they're a Triumvir Foul, they're like a black death band, they're apparently breaking up, they put out one record, or the second record, they break up for some reason, so it's kind of like a who's who of like the Portland like death metal, black metal scene, so, and this is the third record too, so I'm just surprised I've never heard them before now, because this is, again, very much worship at the altar. Olivia, the path, you say nostalgic in a way for 90s death metal, but it just really kick ass. It's no frills. It doesn't try to be anything it's not. It's not trying to reinvent the wheel or make the next the bleeding or something like that. It's just killer fun badass death metal.
Yeah, fun, I would say, is the operative word here. Right down to the song title, Ceremonial Flesh Feast, Decrepit Funeral Home, Morning Star Massacre, Fucked by Death. Yeah.
I love any death metal song. Like, I think Asterix has one too. It's like, fuck, any death metal has like Fucked by Death or something like that. The fuck and the word death at the same time, song title. I just puts a smile on my face. Like, yes.
It reminds me a lot of the artist Gore Lord and their song Come Fucked Face of Death from their album Zombie Suicide Part 666.
Wow, that's just a great album title.
If you've not heard Gore Lord Zombie Suicide Part 666,
I have not.
Oh my god, like the song titles on here are like the best. The Stench of Flesh Decomposing, Horror, Gore and Unreligion, Come Fucked Face of Death, I Am Master Here, Four Ways to Heaven, One Way to Hell, Alive When Fucking the Dead, Necrophilic Orgy in Entrails and Cum, and other masterpieces. Fantastic record.
Another thing I like with this record too is, especially, you know, me being a fan of like the Funeral Doom, the Death Doom and shit, there were like these long, like 45 to hour plus records. This record's 26 minutes long, 21 seconds. So like near Rain and Blood levels. So you could spin it even like two or three times the same day and not be bored with it, because it does what it's meant to do. It excess does not stay longer than it needs to, which unfortunately a lot of, like, actually the next band or record we'll talk about kind of does overstay its welcome a bit.
So. You hold your tongue even now. Hey, but you're right. 26 minutes is really, it's a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Yes. Really gets in, does what it wants to do, which is share a really fun, groovy version of death metal. One definitely awash in the flavors of the mid-1990s, where bands like Cannibal Corpse, Deicide, and Morbid Angel ruled the roost. And it doesn't really try to do anything other than that. And I think that's really cool. However, I've also heard it before, which is also cool, but you're not going to score that many huge points from me. 3.3 out of 5 for me.
I'm going to do 3.7. I'm super biased. I love death metal. Like, even like the more, you know, standard versions like this, but it's a good kick-ass fun record. So I'll definitely revisit this bad boy a lot throughout the rest of the year. So yeah, 3.7 for myself.
It gets a 7.0. Torture Rack's Primeval Onslaught gets a 7.0 from us here at the Fun Metalist Podcast. I'm not hating. I too am a worship metal apologist. And I think bands that don't necessarily reinvent the wheel, but just add on to what is already a successful sound, very much have a place in not only heavy metal, but in all artistic endeavors. There's a reason the sound is cool. There's a reason the sound is popular. And as long as it's done well and not contrived, then more fucking power to them. Lastly, the final review we have for you on this episode of the Fundamentalist Podcast comes to you from the band Black Braid. Black Braid comes to us from the Adirondack Mountains in New York. They play a really badass style of metalcore meets black metal with Native American themed lyrics and art aesthetic. They released their album Black Braid 1 last year, and it was on all of our top releases. At least I believe it was. At least me and Pete's anyway. Richard's doesn't count, obviously. And now they're back with their second full-length release, Black Braid 2. Funnily enough, and we're here to tell you our thoughts. Spoiler alert, I fucking love it. However, one of us here on this panel has a little bit more critical things to say about it, so we'll let him start off the proceedings. Richard, you already hinted at it. Go ahead and tell the people your gripes with this record, and then we can clean the palate with all the awesome things that this record does.
Oh, there's also awesome with this record. I feel in certain parts of the record, actually, it's more black metal than Black Braid 1. But I just feel there's certain tracks like Moss Covered Bones on the Altar of the Moon as
13 minutes of badass black metal perfection.
And even the song The Wolf That Guides the Hunter's Hand. Good songs, but there's certain ideas that kind of stick on a little longer than they should. I feel like songs like that, if they cut them down by 2 to 4 minutes, I feel that way to stronger, better songs. And I believe we were reviewing the first record. I was like, man, as much as I like this, I wish it kind of dirty up the production, like slightly more raw. And with the metalcore influence, I knew that wasn't going to happen. And they just doubled down the super polished production, which is a staple of that genre. So I get it. But that's just more personally for you. It's not necessarily a gripe or a complaint.
It is interesting. The first two singles they put out from here, I remember telling the audience that I think they were getting away from that metalcore sound. But now that I've heard this record in its entirety, I think that's just what they do. There is very much a metalcore tinge on their take on black metal. However, I really like it. It adds a certain straightforwardness to the black metal proceedings. Even in songs that are 13 fucking minutes long, there is a sense of heaviness. There's a sense of direction and forward momentum always. I know Richard complained a little bit about the length of Moss Covered Bones on the Altar of the Moon at 13 minutes and 30 seconds. The very next song, track 6, A Song of Death on the Winds of Dawn, possibly the best song on the record. Actually, it is the best song on the record, is over 11 minutes long in its own right. Long song lengths are not a big deal, at least not here.
Oh, no. Fuck no, not to me. I love Funeral Doom and Death Doom. My favorite Swallow the Sun record is literally a 35-minute song that tells a story. So, no, I just don't like the fat.
I guess we're going to disagree here because I don't think there's that much fat. And this is an album that has 3 instrumental tracks, mind you.
Much like the first one. So,
Autumnal Hearts Ablaze, Spells of Moon and Earth, as well as Celestial Passage. I don't know. I feel like the Native American aesthetic is really coming through here. I love the folk instrumentation, like the flutes that are audible on songs here. The track A Song of Death on the Winds of Dawn, describing an early morning raid on the enemy. Just yes. Put your fist in the air.
Fuck and yeah, then, that's a great song.
And then lastly, ending on A Fine Day to Die, which is a Bathory cover, just really reinforcing the black metal credentials over here. It's really funny. They really put their own spin on this song, and it fits in so well on this record. Also, a big shout out to the track Sadness and the Passage of Time and Memory. I can honestly give a shout out to every single song on this record. I am such a huge fucking fan of it. Everything from like these twisting, winding, melodic black metal riffs that eventually will intersect into the most epic harmony that you can think of. I'm also going back to the song, A Song of Death and the Winds of Dawn. The opening 2 minutes of that song are just God tier perfection. This is why you listen to black metal. And not to throw shade, but there's a certain band from the Pacific Northwest that also tries to incorporate metalcore into their black metal. This band does it better, and it does it a lot fucking better.
The other two songs I like to shout out, actually, the song, the first proper song that's non-instrumental, The Spirit Returns, which gives a good like fist pumping way to start the record, as well as Twilight Hymn of Ancient Blood. So that's like groovy kind of thrash part near like the middle section, which is a nice bit of a change up. So
like at the end of the day, I'm not sure where I could complain sonically here. I guess if I got my dream, I'd get a more ceremonial style black metal record from this. Like really, really, really lean into like the Native American shit. Give me like 10-minute instrumental tracks. I'm not sure what the one member, because this is a one-man black metal project, the Ska Gasowa. I'm not sure what tribe he descends from, and I'm not sure of that tribe's traditions or anything like that. But if those tribes' traditions could be more effectively woven in to the black metal sound of Black Braid, then I am all here for it. Black Braid 2 gets a 4.2 out of 5 from me.
Oh, man. Swing for the fences. I will give Black Braid 2 a 3.5. It's very good. I prefer the first record a bit more. Feel like it justified its length more compared to this one. So if I said any improvements I would like to see, maybe scale some of these songs down a little bit, and even to your thing, embrace more the Native American side of it, really push that direction. And dirty up the production, come on. There's dirty metalcore out there with more raw production. Come on, you can do a Black Braid guy. Come on.
Black Braid 2 gets a 7.7 out of 10 from us here at the Fundamentalist Podcast. What do you think of Black Parade 2? What do you think of Primeval Onslaught from Torture Rack or Nostalgia from Enforcer? Let us know by emailing us at thefundamentalistpodcast@gmail.com, letting us know on Instagram at thefundamentalistpodcast, on Facebook at thefundamentalistpodcast, or you can go to Spotify and leave us a review. Please, 5 stars only. It helps us rise in the algorithm and allows us to share the good word of the fundamentalist with even more people out there. Because after all, who doesn't want to join an environment where heavy metal is the law and court is always in session?
Goddamn right.
With the Fundamentalist Podcast, I am Dual Guest, joined by Richard Donahue.
Yes.
We will speak to you next time. Thank you for listening.